Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.
Now then, advancements in robots have already changed our lives in very many ways. Most of the time you don't even notice it, but automated robotic systems have added efficiency and speed to countless industries. And now, researchers at Cornell University have developed what they say is the first of its kind, a new robot that can be moved via laser impulses and small enough that they're right at home next to microorganisms that already live inside of us. The hope is these tiny robots will be capable of doing things that even a well-trained doctor wouldn't be able to. Joining me on News Talk is Itai Cohn, the lead author of the study. Itai, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
I'm very well. I'm intrigued to know exactly how small are these things.
So if you take you pluck a single hair from your head, they're smaller than the cross-section of that hair.
Wow.
So that's 40 microns by 70 microns by 2 microns thick. They're tiny.
How on earth do you manufacture something that small?
Actually, that's the amazing thing. We know how to do this because all of the technology that has been developed over the last 50 years to shrink down our computer components for microchips, that's been developed by other people. We just stole that technology and figured out how to make moving appendages with them.
Right, so you have something that's the size of a cross-section of a hair. It's so small. What's it able to do?
At the moment, the first ones that we made are just proof of concept. So they don't do very much at all. They respond to laser light, like you said, and we're able to get them to inch forward. But the idea here is that we were able to make a very primitive circuit, and we demonstrated that this kind of technology could be incorporated with more sophisticated computer chips in order to create robots that really have unsurpassed intelligence at this scale. So in other words, what we hope to do is in the future build computer chips that we attach these legs and limbs to. That was the main achievement of this paper, was to develop these legs and limbs that could talk to these computer chips. And then you would have a device at the scale of a cross-section of a single hair that could do some local computation, figure out what's going on in its environment, and then execute a task.
What kind of task would you be thinking of?
You could, for example, detect a local chemical signal and then locomote or move up that gradient. So you detect where the source is. And when it gets to the source, it could slice the source up or it could coat it or do something. So that was kind of the idea behind trying to think about tumor cells. So if you have tumor cells in an open wound, for example, the robots would be able to maybe detect the chemicals coming off of those tumor cells, be able to scooch on up to them, and then maybe do the work of a microsurgeon and slice those tumor cells out. So that's kind of the idea. Now, there's a lot of engineering challenges that go into doing that, but the idea of locomoting up a chemical scent and doing some work once you get there, that's feasible today. We can engineer that today. And those are, in fact, the next level robots that we're making are ones that are incorporated with the kinds of computational elements, the computer chips, that would allow them to do tasks like that.
Incredible. What kind of time scale would you be talking about before you start to get to the point where maybe you might actually be able to try one of these out?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're trying them out in the lab as we speak. The computer chip integration is something that we're working on at this very moment. In fact, our students are probably in the clean room right now trying to get them to work. Now, the question that you're probably really asking is how long before a patient, sees this in the operating room. That takes a lot much longer time, and it also requires development with the doctors to really figure out what it is that needs to be done in order to make their life easier. So, I'd say we're still a decade out before you're going to see this technology in the operating room.
Decade is nothing, though, really, is it? If you think
on a grand scale, it's pretty short.
Fairly amazing idea, though. Is there any ethical issue with this? Is there any drawbacks to it?
There's always worries that people express to us about these robots crawling inside your body and taking over your mind and things like that. And I just want to sort of calm your listeners and just remind them that, even though these things have computer chips on them, these computer chips would still be relatively simple. This is not something that the Army or Bill Gates is going to use to take over your body. That kind of thing is still not possible, and probably won't be, just because of the power constraints and the footprint of the area that we can use to make these chips.
It's incredible. I can't help but think of other uses. They would move very slowly, but I can't help but thinking if they were on the wind somehow, they could move very quickly.
Yeah, so this is a good question. Right now, you can really develop sensors and allow those sensors to talk to the outside world with light. And those sensors can be microscopic, just like we said, smaller than a cross-section of a human hair. And even without any legs, you could, like you say, be carried by the wind, and it would be like dust. And this dust would be smart. It would allow you to measure something about your local environment and then communicate that to anyone with a cell phone, for example. So you might imagine these kinds of computer chips that can be fabricated to be very, very thin and very, very small. You might imagine that they could be put in face cream to measure the acidity of your skin, or put on props to be able to track them as they move through the processing plant. And then if, for example, you have an outbreak of some sort of bacteria, you could very quickly localize where that crop went through, and then pinpoint the problem site. So this kind of miniaturization of computer technology, that's on its way. And the thing that we did in this paper was we demonstrated how to interface that with the legs and appendages that would allow it to move on its own. And
nice.
And so that's the world that's coming.
And even as you're saying that, I'm thinking if you had it as dust and you put it on plants, they could be trained or programmed to detect any kind of disease in the plant and attack that?
That's still hard. Remember that, these robots, they're the size of cells. If you have, let's say, a virus, that's a much smaller length scale. We'd never really be able to attack a virus with a robot like this. So most likely, they'll just be used as passive barcodes, if you will. So you could imagine a piece of dust as it goes through each processing facility, gets its own unique, digit for that processing facility. And then as it goes through each facility, it accumulates, codes. So you basically have a track record of where that plant went through. And, then you eat the stuff. These things are so small, you'll never even notice them as they go through your digestive system. And then you have some machine at the other end, sorting through your poop and, reading out where all this stuff went through. And then if you get an outbreak of people who are sick, then you can imagine that you sort of figure out what the common processing facility is for all those people. And voila, farm. To toilet, as I like to call it.
Farm to toilet. Brilliant stuff. Ethai, Ethai, thank you very much for talking to us today. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Take it easy.
Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.